On America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned. You preach your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos. Today on our show, I want to talk about the Texas GOP primary coming up. In fact, early voting is starting today in Texas. A few points about the primary. We'll interview in studio Daryl Day. He's a candidate for U.S. Congress from right around here, Texas Congressional District 32. Then I'll talk about American Game Changer, the Mike Benz interview with Tucker Carlson. If you did not watch it, as Tucker Carlson said, might be the most important interview he ever did. And I'll tell you a lot about that. And finally, the truckers boycott in New York City after the Trump trial. And of course, I'll tell you why these stories matter to you. So I want to start the show very briefly because it is primary day here in Texas. We have in Texas, I think it's 10 days or 2 weeks or so, and then the actual March 5th, real big primary day. And people are showing up, of course, early voting. And I wanted to cover this last week, didn't get to it, but I just want to hit for Texas voters the very specific points on two things. One is our propositions on the Texas GOP primary ballot. To make very clear, propositions are just ideas. They're trying to ask Republican voters, what do you think about this? It's your way to tell the Republican legislature thing in the state of Texas what you care about, what you think on these really, really important issues. At this time, the propositions, there are 13 of them. To summarize my view, I have read them all, and the answer is vote yes on all of them. If you have thoughts about them, want to research more, there are numerous organizations that have put out not just a vote yes, vote no, but in a description of advocacy for the reason to vote a certain way. It's just vital to vote on those, because if you don't, if you only show up to show up, you're just going to get your one guy you really like, your member of Congress or your state senator, your state rep, you're really missing out on the chance to be an activist if you don't vote in those propositions. And they're very, very simple and forthcoming. One in particular, we're going to have a show on next week on Thursday about Proposition 7. This is the thing that's basically allowing the Texas legislature, urging the Texas legislature to go ahead and create essentially digital gold, put gold on deposit and use it with a debit card or credit card. It's a freedom thing. It's a freedom thing. It matters a lot. And Texas could be a leader if we do this. In fact, the whole show a week from Thursday is on this topic with some amazing experts. So vote yes on all the propositions. The other particular thing I want to draw to your attention today on the Texas primary ballot is that many of you probably have opinions about state senator, all the races that may be up on your ballot. And it is good. I just want to urge you, a lot of people get the idea, I want to get in, get my voting done, and go home. So I'm going to go the first day of early voting. I actually strongly prefer voting on election day, but if you do vote early, just be sure before you go in, you know what's on your ballot. You should be able to go to your county party, because this is, as you know, primaries, you vote by party. You're voting in the Republican primary, or maybe voting in the Democrat primary. But for Republicans, you can go to your county party chair, you can go to your Texas state GOP website, look up, find out ahead of time what is on the ballot. Take time to figure out who these people are, what they stand for, what the propositions are, because they all matter. The other specific thing, though, in Texas that I think will be game-changing in Texas is that we are able to vote in Texas in a primary on three seats that are currently available, or they're up for re-election on the Texas State Criminal Court of Appeals. We had a guest on the show last week, Mike Mason, talking about the importance of these seats. And, you know, to summarize very quickly, the reason these seats matter is that the Texas State Criminal Court of Appeals, so it's state court, it is the highest court for criminal appeals in Texas. After that, if you believe you have an appeal that raises a federal question, you go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. but this is the highest criminal court in Texas. This is the court that ruled last year that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton did not have any authority, did not have the right to initiate voter fraud claims against, to bring criminal charges on voter fraud claims. Basically, the court ruled that because of a provision in the Constitution that the Attorney General is barred from bringing a case of first impression, you know, he's barred from being the one who initiates criminal charges on voter fraud. The court said essentially that the way the intent in Texas was to set it up that the district attorney in every single county had to get involved and file a criminal charge related to voter fraud. And then if that happened, the AG could then get in. And so the result of that case, of that ruling by the Texas Criminal Court of Appeals, was to knock out, it was something like 900 pending cases. 900 cases thrown out because now the court had ruled that the Attorney General lacked that jurisdiction, to lack that right to bring that the criminal charges. And I want to just say this, I know I make analogies, sometimes it might not make perfect sense, but in this era, to make that ruling, context matters. We live in an era where we had George Soros funding district attorney races all around America and all around Texas. So he's putting left-wing district attorneys in place because he funds their campaigns in all over Texas. These people, as you might imagine, they're all Democrats and they're not really interested in prosecuting voter fraud. So you have a perfect storm. You get Soros putting in Democrat DAs who will not prosecute voter fraud because they kind of like it. I don't know why they don't, but they don't prosecute it. And then you have the Attorney General being told by this court that there is no right, he has no right to bring these cases. So basically, it was a decision that enabled ongoing voter fraud undeterred by prosecution. It was way out of line. Many, many people spoke up about the time. And so three judges right now on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals are up for re-election. And I believe we have, and I want to tell you how you can know how important this is. You know, we have many endorsements happening in races all over the country. And endorsements, people are careful about them. They don't endorse lightly. And at the federal level, you have people endorsing races what they normally would never have been involved in. Well, I want to show you a tweet that was put out by Donald Trump Jr. endorsing in this very race. This is a tweet Donald Trump Jr. put out. Texas needs strong, law-abiding judges who will defend election integrity. So the three people they are urging you to vote for, and I urge you to vote for, David Schenck, Gina Parker, and Lee Finley for the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. These people will actually uphold the law, because many people are arguing this decision, this Stevens decision that basically stopped voter fraud prosecution in its tracks in Texas, Stevens, these people, the three activist judges who, in my view, inaccurately interpreted the law and basically shut down prosecutions, are up for re-election. Three of them, Sharon Keller, Michelle Slaughter, Barbara Hervey, they're out talking. In fact, I've heard them speak at several functions where I also spoke, saying, you know, this is just the law. We couldn't help it. I'm sorry. This is unacceptable. And it turned Texas law on its head. So when you go show up to vote, whether it is early or on primary voting day, I really urge you to go down the ballot. In fact, look at your ballot ahead of time. Figure out every single race. If you know nothing about it, ask your politically active friends. Ask someone who's active in the Republican Party. Who are these people? What is the issue? Why is there a primary? It matters to understand what's happening, because this is, in voting in primaries and voting in general elections as well, this is the way we the people retain our role as we the sovereign. America is founded on the idea that we the people govern ourselves, and if we don't take seriously every opportunity we have to choose good people to serve us at all levels, you know, we're short-circuiting or sabotaging our own capacity to have successful self-rule. And that, my very fine friends, is today's first five, or maybe longer, 10. Fine. Okay. So now we're welcoming to the show. We have a guest joining us in studio. He is one of these people who stepped up and was willing to run for office, Daryl Day. And I'm going to tell you quickly, because I want you to go to his website. His last name is Day, just like the word day. So dayfortexas.com. Dayfortexas.com. He's running in Congressional District 32. And this is a district where I used to live until a year and a half ago, and is a district very winnable for Republicans. So he is running in a primary. This is a primary, again, if you're out in Texas right now, you're voting in the primary. He's on that primary ballot, and I want to ask him why in the world someone would run for Congress at this time. So let's welcome to the show Daryl Day.
It's good to be here, and somebody's got to step up and do it, and we've got to get people that have the backbone to take on the lobbyists in D.C. And I'm financially set for life, so I don't need lobbyist money, so I have a little bit of an advantage there that I can't be bought.
That is a great way to start off this interview. You know, it is really interesting because many people, I mean, I'm, as you might imagine, you also, I know so many activists, so many people who show up at Republican meetings and their precinct chairs and their election judges, they knock themselves out and they work really hard and they get people elected. And then they come back and they watch what happens in Washington. What happened to that guy or that woman? I thought they were really with us. I thought they were really going to stand up, but they don't. And so one point you're making is very, very true is, if you get to Washington or Austin, if you're a Texas level person running for one of those seats, there are lobbyists with just handfuls of money. Just if you get there and you really are going to stand strong on whatever the issue is, but the lobbyists saying, well, you know, if you could just bend a little bit, you know, and vote, you don't have to make a speech, but just vote this way, and money changes people's behavior. So this idea that you don't really need lobbyist money to remain able to support yourself, that's a wonderful thing.
I've also had a friend that used to work in the CIA that told me, don't ever accept an open drink from someone because you end up in a hotel room and, you know, they've got everything on videotape. So, no, I can't be seduced and I can't be bought.
Well, those are two good qualifiers right there. Okay, so this seat, I meant to mention, this is currently occupied by a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. This is Colin Allred's seat. He's vacating the seat so he can go get crushed by Senator Cruz.
Yes, he is. It is a beautiful thing. So, yeah, you're right. This is one of our big races in Texas. The incumbent in the seat where you're running is stepping back and running against Senator Ted Cruz, who is, you know, everyone's favorite senator from Texas, just saying. But anyway, so he's going to be challenging him in the fall. So you must have Democrats running. You get one or more on the...
There's 10 Democrats, so they're going to have a nasty primary that probably goes to a runoff. So hopefully we can get past the primary without a runoff and get ready for November. And I'll tell you, we've already started building the grassroots army that it's going to take. We have over 180 volunteers already, and we're just getting warmed up.
Oh, wait, well, I was going to mention something about your being warmed up here, because I noticed that you have, obviously, your website, again, it is dayfortexas.com. You list endorsements, and structure within the party, there are precinct chairs, and I think everyone knows what they are, but they're basically people who volunteer to take one certain precinct for the Republican Party and knock themselves out, connect with those people, get them out to vote. So you've got a bunch of the grassroots who've endorsed you.
And over 100 precinct chairs have endorsed, along with Texas Eagle Forum has endorsed, Collin County Patriots, Red Wave Texas. Pretty much every conservative group has endorsed. They know that I will be a consistent voice for conservative values.
Okay, I do want to talk briefly about your background before I dive into issues. So you previously served, and I'm not seeing it clearly, but you previously served as a Arlington City Council.
Right.
Yeah, so that's some public service. Did you, in Arlington City Council, was that a... you tell me about that a little bit. What's your work that was about there?
Well, it's interesting. Served under Mayor Richard Green, and one of my ideas while I was on the city council saved the city $600,000 a year. So it required some creative thought. It also required going against the city attorney who said, oh, you can't do that. That's illegal. And we showed him all the cities around the country that did do that thing. So you have to be able to stand up to the bureaucracy and just say, no, let's see if there's a way to do this for the American people.
Yep. Okay. I love that. I want to turn now to I'm on this language I've been using in my own speeches too about what time it is in America. I actually think in America, even for people who had, you know, Trump derangement syndrome and didn't like him, as they watch the country since the time that Biden assumed office and, you know, took over the White House, I don't want to say he won the election, but he ended up in the White House, I think many Americans are just, they're kind of jaw-dropped, their jaws dropping at the chaos and intentional harm being inflicted on America by this administration. Right. I'm getting at the point, I actually think there would be crossover voting more than there has in the past, not necessarily in the primary, but in the general. People just saying, I'm normally voting Democrat, but I can't deal with what's happened to the country under Biden. So do you see that at all?
I think you're exactly right. More than 70% of Americans in recent polls have said they think we're in the wrong direction. Now, will a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat who's always voted Democrat and their grandpappy voted Democrat, will they cross over? I mean, that's the big question. But I know people in the middle, the moderates, the undecideds, I think we will get them by the droves because of the border issue. I mean, they see hundreds of thousands of illegals pouring across our border, and they know that's insane.
They do, and actually, that's one of my favorite issues I talk about all the time. The two things that we will never fix America if we can't get a hold of is border security and election integrity. Right. Those two things, if you don't get them right, you may lose America and have a hard time getting back. So,
if you don't have a border, you don't have a country.
Yeah. So I assume your campaign's been knocking on doors. Is that right? Yeah, you've been knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. So what issues do people tell you are rattling them? What would you know?
90% of the people we're talking to are talking about the border. They think that it's crazy what's going on at the border. They know that it's bringing crime, it's bringing fentanyl, it's bringing sex trafficking into the country, and they know it's wrong. And think about it for a minute. We have a Pentagon budget of $830 billion. That Pentagon, that industrial complex, is to keep us safe, right? Yet the government looks the other way while hundreds of thousands of people pour into our country. I mean, what's wrong with that picture? It's insane.
Well, you know, yes, it is insane. The other thing is, a lot of issues, there are at least relatively reasonable opinions on either side. You know, people may... they may be more alarmed about climate change, others are not, or tax rates or social spending, whatever the issues, you can have some reasonable battle. There's no one from the left making the argument that having an open border, which is what we essentially have, there's no one on the left explaining, defending, or justifying it. It's like everyone you see is terrible, and yet you get no answer, no explanation from the left. I mean, do you agree?
Well, the left isn't. That they're also not, they're not supporting it, but at the same time, they're not raising their voice. They're not saying Homeland Security needs to do its job. They didn't vote for the impeachment of Mayorkas like they should have. I mean, that was pretty much down straight partisan lines. So you're right. Are the Democrats, probably agreeing with us? Yes. But are they standing up and yelling and screaming that this is insane? They're not doing it so far.
Yeah, that's actually one thing I thought a lot of Republican candidates for Congress ought to exploit. How do you have Mayorkas not doing the, obviously just choosing to go along with the Biden administration, which is really the Obama administration policy, we're just going to let the southern border go. They had a chance as individual members of Congress to say, I don't know why Biden's doing this, and I don't know why Mayorkas isn't, but I don't like it, I don't want it. But you could not get one Democrat to stand up and say, yeah, Mayorkas should be impeached. It's right. Astonishing.
Right. They just vote lockstep. I mean, the easiest job in the world would be head of the Democrat Party because he just says, run over that cliff, and they say, we obey. Republicans are more free thinkers. They have very, very strong opinions. So the hardest job in the world is running the Republican Party because, getting Republicans pointed in the right direction is hard because we all have our own very, very strongly held opinions.
That, and one of the premises of founding of America and of the Republican Party, we believe in the right of the individual and the uniqueness of individuality. And people are allowed to express their views, to fight for their views. So on the border, let me ask you this. So, I mean, this is, we have to win back Republican control of the Congress.
We, right.
we have to.
And, we have
and,
to.
I mean, we have Republican control by a pinch right now, but I mean a solid Republican control. Mm-hmm. So if you got up there and the border continues to be a mess, as apparently it would be because they won't stop this, they won't change a policy, is it bad enough you think that Congress should, for example, defund or reduce the funding to Department of Homeland Security? What do you do to force them to do their job?
That's a great question. The first step is we've got to finish the wall. We've got to fund the wall. And is that the panacea? Is that the only answer? No. Do we need, drones and more border agents? We do. But the first step is a physical border or physical barrier to slow down the massive invasion going on at the border right now. And we also need to stop giving taxpayer funded goodies to illegals. We have to stop that. We've got to bring back Remain in Mexico. And we just need the will to do it. It seems like people agree, but they don't stand up and fight for it. So we need more people with a backbone that'll stand up and fight.
Absolutely, we do. But again, so say we win, the Republicans have the majority in the House. Say we win back the Senate. We were at something recently. Anyway, I think it was Donald Trump Jr. saying, yeah, we're going to take back the Senate. That would be really great. So what do you do, though? I mean, I feel like this is a crisis issue in America, because I don't think the Biden administration is going to agree to enforce the border in almost any circumstance. I mean, what ways do you have to force that? Is it just money?
You know, it might be a time to send the military to the border. It is an invasion. Their job is to protect our shores, send the military to the border.
Okay, so you agree with Governor Abbott's declaration of an invasion?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, me too. So I'm gonna share with our listeners, and I'm glad you showed me this before we started. This is a great flyer. This looks like something I put on my show. It says, we must stop the invasion at our southern border. Joe Biden has created a crisis at the border. Daryl Day is here to stop it. So this is a flyer you sent out. So can you zoom in here, Mr. Emilio? Can they see it pretty well? Yeah? He's going to zoom. Okay. I think. Okay. I'll hold it up. But anyway, it's a great flyer. And this you sent out, I assume, to Republican voters in CD32. Right. So you got any feedback for it? You got to go back again because it's scary looking. Okay.
People are reacting very powerfully to this. They are. In fact, a guy walked to the door and he said, I got your mailer yesterday, and he held it up. He said, you're right. It's an invasion, and I'm 100% for you because of this. You're going to fight for us.
I love that. I love that. And on the, as I know, I'm hitting a point I said earlier, but in so many issues, the left will come up with something. And you know, to me, this is not just something they have no answer, but the larger impact on America, if you don't enforce the border, you have, you know, you mentioned drug trafficking, and you have human sex trafficking, and you have dangerous people coming over the border. You also are filling America with a bunch of people who aren't citizens, have not bought into the American ideal. Mm-hmm. And you think there's some chance the Democrats plan on them being Democrat voters someday?
100% chance of that. So that's one. And you mentioned voter integrity. And that is very, very important. That's why we need voter photo ID laws all over America. And I think they do, because I think in California, illegals can get a driver's license and then they just waltz into the polling place and show the driver's license. So yeah, we've got to crack down on that. And it's funny, the mayor of New York, a city of what, 8 to 12 million people, he gets a couple hundred thousand illegal migrants and he says, oh, we're full now. Well, ask Brownsville, Texas, how they're doing.
Yeah.
How's Eagle Pass doing? So, yeah, just a couple of migrants, and suddenly they're not a sanctuary city anymore, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's one of those things. There's so many things like this. Leftist ideas sound nice when they're just standing in some, you know, discussion in the salon and just, oh, yes, I really, really love immigrants coming to America. And they sound like they're really open-minded, and they're almost sanctimonious about it, until it's their backyard, their front door, their danger, their city. And right. All of a sudden, it's a different tune.
And all the people that support an open border are surrounded by a fence at their house. And, you know, you ask 100 migrants to go camp out in their yard, I think they might have a problem with that. You know?
Absolutely.
And actually, maybe that's where Abbott needs to start sending the migrants. Maybe we need to send about 100 busloads of migrants to Mayorkas' neighborhood.
Or I always go with Nancy Pelosi's, you know, she's got some estate with guards and fences. Yeah, she's not living like the real people, the rest of us. So
every legislator that votes against shutting down our border needs to have at least 10 busloads of migrants showing up on their front yard.
Absolutely. So, you know, I know you, I want to urge our listeners about this if you're in the great state of Texas, because it is hard to stand up and be a candidate. I mean, I used to think, because I've worked at many campaigns, I've knocked on doors, and it always seemed like the candidate, wow, that's just, you know, that's just so exciting. And so, and it is, I guess, I mean, it's exciting, but it is time consuming. It is resource consuming. And it is always, or at least I'm finding in my, I'm running for RNC committee woman, you know, you're always rechecking yourself. Maybe I should try this. Maybe I should have done that. I mean, I really want to commend you for stepping up, because this district has changed. When I first lived there, it was very solid R, and now it's, you know, it's somewhere middle-ish. So you really have to, what you've got to do, and the other Republicans, is inspire people to show up and believe they can win this district back.
Our enemy is apathy. It's apathy. It's getting people off the couch and getting them out to the polls. And that's what we're working very hard to do.
I love that. So you're knocking on doors, and you have, I assume you're structured kind of in how you're doing this. You're targeting, are you targeting particular areas where you think you've got Republicans who maybe could show up and don't, or?
Yeah, that's a highly guarded secret, but yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are going to the places
no secrets.
With very, very high concentrations of solid Republicans who get out to vote every single election.
Yeah, you know, it is a primaries especially. I really would love to have you just prevail in this primary and move on to the general, because I do think something we were hitting on earlier, but I do think when people really sit down, they think, well, you know, as you say, people, I vote Democrat because, I don't know, my grandfather did, or my uncle's in a union, or some other reason like that. But you stare at the condition of America,
right.
You might just say, you know what, either I like claim I'm independent, but I cannot vote to perpetuate this lunacy of the left. We're going to bring some independents, maybe even some Democrats over to our side.
Well, I love to ask Democrats, if you can't answer because I always have, or because Republicans are terrible, if you can't answer one of those two ways, tell me why you're a Democrat. And there's a deer in the headlights look, like you can tell that they've never actually considered, why have I voted Democrat? And maybe it plants a seed that maybe there's a better way, because as you mentioned earlier, Democrat policies don't work. There's virtually no Democrat policy that works here in the real world. Here in reality, Republican policies work.
Could not be truer. Could not be truer. So for our listeners, I urge you to go to dayfortexas.com. And I started that little spiel a minute ago to say campaigns cost money. And even though, you know, you're going to campaign because you believe in something, you're going to keep on campaigning. They cost money. They require volunteers. They require a force. It sounds like Daryl Day has assembled a lot of supporters, but there are always more people needed. And the other thing you can do, every person can do, if you start to see some race as really important, you know, I use the expression, tell your 25 best friends, tell people, do you realize this is on the ballot? I don't mean just your fellow, you know, neighbors that you already know are Republicans, but, you know, in your tennis team and your, whatever it is you do, your activity, your Sunday school class, whatever you do in activity, urge people, this is a really important time. We need fighters in Congress. We need fighters who believe in America, who stand up for America. That's what we need. And get them fired up and motivated. And you yourself, if you're interested in donating to a campaign, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. You look like you're going to say something.
No, I was just going to say that people can do something as simple as go to dayfortexas.com and forward that link to 10 friends. I mean, you can do that in 60 seconds. And it's very, very powerful to do that. Very powerful to do that. And just say, here's a guy who's going to fight for us.
Yeah, that is actually a great idea. They didn't even have to say, they don't have to go into 17 policies, but just, this is a guy I'm supporting. I really like him, you know, and just send the link and then let the person dive in and read themselves.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I like that very much. Well, I thank you for running. Honest to goodness, I'm fully aware, I've worked at many campaigns, fully aware of what a project it is. And it must be after kind of exciting to think, okay, we're getting to the finish line. The primary is March 5th. That's coming right up. And early voting started today.
So. But we went to, I think, the 80th event that I've been to the last 4 months. And my wife asked me, are you getting tired yet? And I said, I feel like I'm just getting warmed up. I love it more and more every day. So,
great way to feel. We didn't do much about your personal background, but I think another thing is important. Someone who's been a precinct chair, an election judge, you've actually been in the battle, been in the trenches, another sign of a serious patriot, another sign of someone who actually understands what time it is in America. So, and your campaign, your website's great. So I commend you on that. And actually, one last time, tell people the border is a big thing. Election, are these the two things, election, that are driving your campaign?
Two things, and obviously a $34 trillion deficit is out of control. And I actually advocate for zero-based budgeting, so every single government agency has to go before Congress. And I know there's no stomach for that now, and I know it makes the budget process a lot longer, but I want every single government agency to have to justify every single thing they do, justify their existence to start with,
yeah,
and justify that every dollar they spend is benefiting the American people.
I love that. Zero-based, we don't have time to do this right now, but after you win the primary, we can talk about this again. The zero-based budgeting idea, I think for many people, they say, oh my gosh, that'd be, as you say, it's time-consuming and tedious, but how do you get spending under control unless you take a hard step like that?
Right. It is a very hard step. It's very dramatic, but tell me a better way to rein in an out-of-control government leviathan.
Right, exactly. Daryl Day, thank you for running and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, and thank you for your show. Your show is wonderful, and thank you for being in the fight.
I wake up, as you say, more energized than ever every day, so you're welcome. Okay, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Okay, my friends, I want to try to hit two other issues today, and I call this one American Game Changer, and I will tell you, Tucker Carlson, okay, beside my show, Tucker Carlson is the best show out there in terms of diving in. Once he broke off from Fox, he is able to do any interviews he wants with anybody. He's got his show now running on Twitter, so he can be on Twitter and decide, I'm going to do a show, I'm going to do three shows next week, and then not one for a month, whatever he wants to do, he's his own boss. But he's really, really diving in deeply to things that matter a great deal. And he is bringing people to the fore that would never have been permitted on if he remained on Fox News. So the interview he had most recently, in fact, I think Tucker Carlson even said it was the most important interview he'd ever done in his life. So here is a short story. The person he interviewed is named Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z. I had never heard of him before. And I actually went to the trouble because it's an hour plus, I think it's an hour plus interview. So my husband and our one adult son who lives in Fort Worth came over. We put it up on the TV screen and we all watched it together. And I kept trying to pause and take notes and I finally gave up. This guy's story is beyond incredible. And among the things he's sharing that I just really can't even summarize well, but and I urge you to watch it yourself. This guy, Mike Benz, apparently he's been out there for a while. He's not brand new it's whistleblowing to beat the band, but he has an organization, Foundation for Freedom Online. He's the director at Foundation for Freedom Online. And it, as Tucker Carlson said, most important interview he ever did. And I want to tell you why it's so important. We have a government, a CIA, that for very good reasons after World War II, took on the role, the job of trying to prevent the spread of communism. And so we engage people intentionally, the CIA did, engage people intentionally to impact elections in other countries. We learned how to sway people against certain people who are bad candidates and others who are good, who are better, which in our view is probably people friendly to Western civilization, friendly to democracy, friendly to America. So this whole role, the CIA was invigorated by and did it for a long time. In fact, one guest we've had on our show numerous times is a former CIA operative who did these kind of things and talks about what they used to do. But what Mike Benz is saying is, so that was all fine and good, and we're trying to impact other governments and other places, but what began to occur within our own government is CIA, DOD, other officials, other people in our government turned the reins of their tactic, turned those tactics against the American people. And he was describing something that when you're finally done listening to him, you feel like, wow, it seems like I should have almost figured that out myself. Because what he's talking about is there is an endless effort to psychologically manipulate the American people and change what they think is true, change what they believe and understand, around to being what they want the American people to think and believe on a whole host of issues. It's basically a massive ongoing psychological operation against the American people for decades. CIA, DOD, and he mentions other agencies, Department of Homeland Security. So for example, recently when we had the Twitter files came to our attention and people thought, oh my gosh, Twitter files was this amazing disclosure once Twitter became freed because Elon Musk bought it, they came to realize that the Department of Homeland Security was actually manipulating the content of Twitter, was telling Twitter, at Twitter officials what you should take down, what you should put up, what you should tamp down, what was barred from going on. So Twitter files essentially, that was a name they gave to this big expose, but the Twitter files ended up helping us see that, for example, the Hunter Biden laptop was a real thing. It was actually his laptop, and he, in apparently some drugged state, left it with a repairman who, after a while, realized what was on it. It sat in the hands of the FBI, who, you know, not only did not disclose it to the American people, but actually were consciously hiding it from the public. And they had officials, former CIA and other top-notch national security officials, putting out the story that 51 of them signed on, saying this is not, you know, this whole thing is Russian disinformation. It's not real, and you know, we had that revelation, and that made a lot of people realize, wow, that government's kind of working against us to hide the truth from the voters, to prop up a certain candidate, Joe Biden, to make people who were concerned about the contents of the laptop be kind of cast off as right-wing extremists and people who aren't very informed or kind of conspiracy theory people. What this Ben's interview was for an hour and a half was talking about, that was just one little piece, one little chapter in a very much long ongoing mission of twisting the understanding of what the American people have of what has occurred in this, of what was occurring. So he runs through a talk about how the mindset, and this is a big piece of it. You know how you hear all these Democrat candidates saying, and it's Biden and Kamala Harris and all these people saying, we stand for democracy. We're fighting to preserve democracy. We don't want to end democracy. And he talked about that idea specifically, the idea that these people who have been invested for decades now in the mission to shape and control what the American people think and believe, when they say we're standing up for democracy, they're meaning they, this ruling class, you know, is Department of Defense, State Department, Department of Homeland Security, CIA, FBI, all these people have been colluding in this mindset that says we're going to control what the people think because it's good for them. They actually view that as preserving democracy. They actually view their opinions about what should be said, what should be heard. They view that as, because they have elevated in their own thinking, their own importance, and their capacity to think better than the average American Joe about anything. They think that they are, and I'm not just saying they use it as an excuse to keep saying the line, we preserve democracy. I'm saying it's what they actually think. They actually think this is how you preserve democracy. We keep on controlling what the American people think and believe and understand on a whole host of issues. And it's been going on for decades. So this guy, Mike Benz, he actually said much of what he's been talking about in this Foundation for Freedom Online website is he said, look at my website. Go there and check it out yourself. And so first of all, it was very interesting to listen to him. Tucker Carlson kind of said, hi there, I have Mike Benz here. And they were not together. It was, you know, a video interview. But Benz just started talking. And you can see no notes, no teleprompter, and he's running through a history of America and the suppression of the, essentially, in my view, freedom of speech, because freedom of speech includes the freedom to say what you like, to listen to what you like, to have opinions of all kinds expressed. That's what the First Amendment really means. And he's saying this orchestration of American thought has been happening at the hands of those people, of this cabal of people. It's not, you know, cabal sounds like 10 people. What's a good word for it? Labyrinth. It is a bunch of people, CIA, DOD, FBI, they all think it's their job to manipulate what you think. That's what they think their job is. So he's exposing this, and Tucker Carlson, in fact, I'll read one quote, Tucker Carlson's quote, how he summarizes is episode 75. If you go on to Twitter, you can find it. The national security state is the main driver of censorship and election interference in the United States. What I'm describing is military rule, says Mike Benz. It's the inversion of democracy. It is including the DOD, our military, Department of Defense, part of this effort to control what we think. And you know the movie Matrix, they make allusions to it once in a while. If you've never seen it, you should see Matrix. But it's this sense, you realize, wait a minute, everything that looks real to me, and everything that seems to be happening organically, everything I read is not. And it's there's an entire layer of truth that people are starting to see. That's what Benz is trying to get at. You, American people, you've got to understand what you think is real and true is manipulated, because what you read, what the social media companies allow you to see, what the politicians say, it's all orchestrated and controlled. And you, if you have a passion and a heart for America, and you want to stand up for America, you've got to realize how many times you have been duped. This is what it says. I'm probably going to have to come back to this story later in the show, because I want to tell you more about it, but I don't want to run out of time for one other quick story to tell you. And I call this Truckers Boycott, and I'm going to start this little story. So I call this Truckers Boycott in New York City after Trump trial. I talked last week, I don't know when it was, but you know, about this ridiculous jury verdict against Donald Trump. And it is so outrageous. And, you know, it's a massive fine, and it prohibits him or anyone in his family from doing business in New York. It is so un-American, so unspeakably lawless, so unspeakably intentionally retaliatory against conservatism. It's preposterous. I hope and pray it be reversed by the Supreme Court. But in the meantime, truckers are saying, you know what we're going to do? You know, the way the truckers did in Canada, when they said, you know, we're really, really tired of these COVID vaccines and these COVID mandates. So the truckers basically had a big protest and shut down roads. It was the people rising up, the truckers' protest. And we've had a bit of that here in Texas, which I'll touch on in a minute. But first I want to play for you. There is a trucker who's kind of taken on this role. He's leading this, basically saying, if all the truckers in America decide we're not delivering to New York City, we're not delivering anything to New York City, nothing, until this is reversed. And so that's what this guy is leading. Here's a clip from him. Do we have this, Mr. Million? We do have it. Okay, let's quick play that and I'll talk more about it.
Good morning, Patriots. This is Trucker Jake. Let's talk about the New York City trucker boycott. Of course, overnight, liberals all have become experts on the trucking industry. They all know logistics forward and backwards. Well, we're all going to lose our jobs. We're all going to be replaced by AI. Here's the thing. We have a deficit in this country of 85,000 truck drivers. You want to do AI? Bring it. We could use the help. But it's not going to happen in my lifetime. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. It's not going to happen in your grandkids' lifetime. And then you're going to say, oh, the illegals, they're going to take your jobs. Really? The illegals? They can't pass a background check, can't pass a drug screening, and then you got the language barrier. What insurance company is going to hire someone who cannot pass a background check? So anyway, truckers, you're safe. Those of you truckers who have to work, totally get it. You do you. No one's going to eat your lunch if you're not going to, you know, be part of the boycott. But those of you who are part of the boycott, God bless you. This is Trucker Jake. God bless President Trump. God bless MAGA America. God bless you truckers out there, and y'all have a great day.
Okay, do you not love that guy? I mean, that guy, you know, I in the beginning, the sound was kind of down in here, but he said, was saying in the beginning, you know, we basically have an 85,000 person shortage of truck drivers in America. So I did not know that, but he's saying that, you know, they have a shortage already. And what's happened is, and this is what I want to kind of, I'm probably going to go back to Ben's in a minute, but part of what's happening is the elites who think they control everything, they rule everything, they've decided, you know, we're taking Trump out, so he's going to have to deal with the Mar-a-Lago documents case, which is garbage. He's going to have to deal with the Georgia election interference case, which is also garbage. Fortunately, Fannie Willis is giving a little bit of distraction to it, which is, I mean, this is the left, a coordinated effort to say to America, you know, you can't have the president you want. You Republicans can't have the president you want. Obviously, Donald Trump is whatever, is 40 points ahead. In fact, he's the only serious contender in this primary to be president right now. So the left is coordinating its attacks. These are not unique, disconnected things. But the particular thing that happened in New York with this judge, allow me to digress for one moment. This judge who made this preposterous ruling against President Trump, and I always lose his name because it's a very weird name, but in any case, he actually is not just accused of, but not really, you know, responsible for. Here it is, Arthur Engeron, whatever it is. This is a guy who sends nude pictures of himself I mean, totally serious. Think about this. What I used to think in law school, and I mean, even practicing law, even in California practicing law, you know, judges, they're revered. You run for a judge to be a judge because you practice law. You've demonstrated integrity and intelligence and clarity of thinking and ability to apply the law to the facts. It's an elevated position in society. This joker, who is a New York State judge, who is crass beyond belief, sends nude pictures of himself. And it's like a high school. He's an alumni. He's an administrator of an alumni website about his high school or college. Posts these kind of things, and this is the guy who is inflicting essentially what he's attempting is a death knell on Trump's ability to do business in New York. He's a preposterous pig and a joke, and yet he thinks he's going to hold up the Trump family from doing business in New York. If you look at the fervor with which the left is going after Donald Trump, the fervor, anything they can think of, they're throwing at him. And all that's really happening is his polling numbers go up, the likelihood he will win goes up, and the people who are watching there's crazy leftists who probably cheer every time there's something bad happens to Trump. Okay, there you go. But for most people, especially those who don't pay attention to politics, they're looking around thinking, what in the world is going on? I mean, everyone knows Biden had, let's run through the cases. Mar-a-Lago, Trump, who was president, and therefore under the Presidential Records Act, had 100% right to take any documents he wanted. Period, full stop, that's the law. So he takes them to Mar-a-Lago. Biden, who was vice president, so that Records Act did not apply to him, had no right. Documents are lost all over his home in Delaware, his Penn State fundraising China money laundering operation in wherever that was, in Philadelphia, I think. So he had actually documents, couldn't even figure out where they were or what they were. You had they looked into that case, trying to decide whether to go forward and prosecute him. They decided that Biden couldn't be prosecuted because he would easily convince a jury he was a confused and frail elderly man. They actually realized no jury is going to convict him because he's not lucid. And I'm sorry he's not lucid. And I'm sorry dementia goes on. I'm sorry for people with mental decline, but they shouldn't be occupying the White House. They should be somewhere else. But back to Trump. So they have these cases. Trump is going to have Mar-a-Lago case. Biden has, nothing. You had the Biden laptop held up with help from the American people, which was if there ever was election interference, there you go. But, Donald Trump is in trouble, even for making a phone call related to the Ukraine was an impeachment thing. And then you have in Georgia the election fraud in Georgia was rampant and obvious, and he's just saying, can you look at this? And then I'm getting at the point. People in America and really around the world are looking at our country and saying, you're so crazed at getting this guy. Why? Why? I mean, if he's really a bad guy, he won't get elected. So, okay, that's good. I got to get my husband to do something here. Okay. something he texted me, I want to read to you. I can't get it to come up on the phone. So back to Trump. We have Trump being attacked and all these people around the country watching. And now this New York judge, by the way, other things, just in case you know how much they had to bend the law to get Trump on this thing. They bend the law to go after this lunatic charge about him, claiming he misrepresented certain figures in filings for insurance. There's no one harmed. There's no plaintiff. No one's claiming damage. All loans are repaid. It was misrepresentation allegedly on bank loan forms or other official forms. No one's been harmed. No one has not been repaid. No one's complaining. Not one person is saying I was hurt by these financial transactions. And yet, they brought criminal charges. And now this judge is saying, yeah, and you know what he's going to have to pay? I didn't keep the numbers in my head because it's so ridiculous. $355 million, yeah. $355 million. And they also said he can't run businesses in the state. It's a civil fraud verdict. And, I just think America watches this and shakes their head and likes Trump more. But there's a deeper point about this I really urge everyone to think about. you know, you had, this is a civil fraud case. You had this alleged criminal charge against Trump relating to a payment made to a pole dancer, and they had to waive the statute of limitations, change the law in New York to even go after him for that. And these things, if you're just, I mean, the left deplores Trump, and I get to a moment why they really deplore him, why they really are fighting him. But all these things that we're watching happen in our country, the reason you should care, even if you hate Trump, is because we're seeing the collapse of the rule of law. We're seeing the collapse of the presumption that judges are honorable, that they follow the law, that they do what the law requires them to do, that they will throw out cases, even if they don't like the defendant and would like to prosecute him, they'll throw those cases out. That presumption that the rule of law is actually blind and that everyone will be treated fairly, once you lose that, we are in banana republic territory. And we're in the territory we used to watch when communist governments changed hands. Stalin going after whoever was before him and cooking up charges against him. We are at that point in this country. This is not like a future threat. It might happen someday. It's happening right now. This changing law in New York to make sure that some prosecutor can come after Trump for some payment to a pole dancer from some number of years ago, and the entire, the alleged sexual assault that had, I mean, everyone reading the case, if you read anything about it, it was preposterous to even think that it happened. You know, that was in a public place and the woman didn't complain about it for however many years it was, and that was the case that had to change the statute of limitations to get her case in. And at the end, okay, here we go. I'm going to be able to read this to you. Thank you. Okay, so again, I'm getting at the point to say, I think in this time in America, I'm going to go back to our election. We're in primary voting season. We're in primary season. This is time for everybody paying even the slightest attention to recognize that every single election matters. Every single choice you make in primaries matter, whether it is who runs a Texas state legislature, whether it's judges that they can elect in New York, in fact, or judges you elect elsewhere. Some judges run on, I'll get Trump, don't worry. I mean, they actually run on those kind of things, like Letitia James in New York. She basically said her campaign platform is, I'll get Donald Trump. That's who actually did that. And these are just impossibly serious times in America, impossibly serious. And so for people who love this country, you love freedom, you understand America has been great, unique, extraordinary, strong, full of opportunity because of the founding ideas, they're all on the ballot this year. The ballot is not just who you pick in a primary or who you pick in the general. It is about whether or not people are awake enough to reject this absolute fundamental transformation of America happening before our very eyes, becoming a state where the government goes after its political enemies through the Department of Justice and the FBI, the January 6 cases, or we're a country that we come back to the great and unique promise of America. This is, we are watching before our very eyes the fundamental takedown of America by leftist ideas, and it ties into what they're doing, trying to do to Trump, because they're basically saying, we pick, the people have no choice, you don't get to do no more elections for you. We, the ruling class, pick. This stuff that Michael Benz is exposing is another eye-opener to help people understand how much we have strayed from and lost the foundational ideas of America, that we have people now decades in power at the federal level who actually think it is their job. They're promoting democracy by deciding what you can read, what you can know about, what you can say, and what you're not allowed to hear about because they don't want you to know it. Manipulating public thought on this Benz interview talked about, manipulating public thought on election integrity, what was happening in the border, and on COVID. These big issues that faced America, and Americans were trying to sort them out and learn the truth and decipher. That's what was actually happening, is we were trying to learn truth, and what Benz is reporting on is it's all, we're being manipulated beyond our wildest capacity to imagine. We're being manipulated by lies by our own government. And so in this time, in this primary season, again, carefully look at the primary ballot where you're going to vote. Carefully look at the propositions so you know what's on the ballot. You know whether or not, you know, whether someone's a good guy or not. What do they speak of? What do they know about? Vote on their propositions and get more active politically and tell your friends to do that. People who just, you know, if you told them you need to vote for X and not Y, they might listen. But if they're just going to get, they may sadly get a flyer in the mail and say, oh, I don't need that. You've got to help people wake up to see the tremendous, really dangerous time we're in this country, the truly dangerous time we're in this country. Okay, I'll tell you one more thing before I go to why it matters to you. So on our Thursday show this week, we have Liz Collin coming in. So Thursdays, we have a full hour interview. We have an in-studio audience. It's really fun. In fact, if you're in North Texas and you want to come to the Thursday show, you can text me at 214-256-1972. If you text, that's a texting service only. I'll respond. We do a little background check if we don't know you, but we'd love to have you come in studio. But Liz Collin, I'm bringing her in from Minneapolis for this interview today on Thursday. She is a former television reporter in Minneapolis and is a is married to a gentleman who was then the head of the police union at the time of the George Floyd incident. She began telling the truth about what actually happened on the George Floyd and the George Floyd incident. She doesn't have her job. Husband doesn't have his job. She's got a book out called They're Lying. That's the main thing. The subtitle is something like the police, the media, blah, blah, they're all lying. But her book is called They're Lying. And she was also the moderator in a great, great documentary called The Fall of Minneapolis. I am telling you, it's like a page turner to read, because when you actually realize what happened, and then you realize what America was manipulated into thinking happened, night and day. If you just have read about the incident with George Floyd and mainstream media, you have no idea what happened. So she's coming in person on Thursday to talk about her firsthand knowledge and her husband's firsthand knowledge about what happened on that day in Minneapolis. And the reason it matters so very much is because this is another manipulation, another, you know, the left trying to manipulate America into believing all police are dangerous, they all should be defunded, they're all racist, they're all murderous. I mean, just things we have been manipulated into believing that cause people to turn against America and not believe in America. This story is really riveting, so do tune in Thursday. Okay, I close the show every day by telling you why the stories we talked about today matter to you. So we started our show talking about Texas GOP primary, propositions and judges matter, the whole dang ballot matters. Early voting for March 5th primary starts today in Texas. Historic level of primary challenges the GOP incumbents throughout the state. Paxton's sneak attack impeachment exposed the division. It's a ruling class versus a patriot movement. I'm trying to use that language a lot in Texas in my campaign, is ruling class versus a patriot movement. So ballot propositions reflect grassroots determination to set the America First agenda. These propositions are a vehicle to tell the Texas legislature what their GOP voters want. Contentious races for Texas Criminal Court of Appeal judges. Vote for Schenck, Parker, and Finley. Appellate decision taking election fraud prosecution out of the hands of the state attorney general and effectively leave it in the hands of Soros-funded DAs, profoundly controversial. Its effect, no prosecution of election fraud. This decision must be reversed. New judges can help. Across America, a mission to restore government to we the people. Patriots must vote. And if you're in CD32, vote for our guest today. Please vote for our guest today, Daryl Day in Texas CD32. And then we had the, American Game Changer, Mike Benz interview with Tucker Carlson. Carlson Benz interview may be the most important to the future of the Republic ever. View it multiple times, share it, talk about it. Mike Benz articulates thoroughly and precisely the switcheroo by which U.S. government's regime, change engineers who develop and use social media manipulation and censorship, dirty tricks to control foreign country elections, turn their tools and mission on the American people and the U.S. election of 2020. Context matters, and the Carlson-Benz interview places all of the corruption, deceit, narrative engineering, and election-stealing tactics in context. It was and is the design of the institutional ruling class of the federal government who equate their opinions with what's best for the American people. Voters be damned. Not one legacy media outlet has even attempted a rebuttal of Benz. The truth will out, and America can be restored as lies are exposed. And finally, the truckers boycott New York City after the Trump trial. I love this kind of stuff. The spirit of truckers is the spirit of patriots. No nonsense, hardworking people of common sense who make the country run. Truckers in Canada were first to light the fire of liberty on Trudeau's tyranny. Truckers in Texas filled the southern border towns with inspiration. Truckers around New York City and maybe D.C. are starting to vent after ridiculous Trump fine, rumors of stoppage of deliveries in protest of judicial corruption. Even a few days of stoppage can send a powerful message. Tactically focused work stoppages of many kinds may be the saving grace of we the people. The ruling class believes we the people are ultimately passive, impotent spectators. They have pushed this belief too far. 2024 is just beginning to prove that fact. That, my very fine friends, is America Can We Talk for today. I urge you to tune in to America Can We Talk. At this point, because I'm running for, actually, can you put that chyron up, Emilio, for my campaign? I'm running for RNC Committeewoman for Texas. It's DebbieG4RNC.com. You can endorse that campaign wherever you are. We have lots of wonderful, wonderful endorsements. I'm deeply grateful for them. More all the time, Turning Point USA and other ones. Leave that chyron up for just a second, if you would. Yeah, DebbieG4RNC. I want you to check that out. The talk show is AmericaCanWeTalk.org. The campaign is DebbieG4RNC.com. I am doing this race for RNC for the same reason I do this talk show, the same reason I give my speeches, the same reason I wrote my book, Ladies, Can We Talk? To speak up for America, because America truly, America as founded, is in peril. And the people understand this, the people understand the issues and what's at stake for the future of freedom, need to stand up and get in the fight for America. I do this show to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
America, Can We Talk? Truth about America.
Can you hear?